This morning, we're going to look at 2 Corinthians 8. We want to look at the example of the Macedonia ecclesia, the Macedonia area. We want to pull a lesson from that, and hopefully we can get that out of this exhortation this morning. So, giving first of yourself, where are we going to go with that? First, I want to tell you a story before we begin, and then hopefully I can wrap up at least one point through this story. Imagine for a moment you're planning a fundraiser to support hungry, desperate families. You would probably think long and hard about the planning, coordination, and execution of the fundraiser. You would appoint committees for the fundraiser and set goals for each committee in hopes of pulling off a successful fundraiser. You would coordinate with many different people and companies for assistance and help with various tasks involved in running such an effort. At some point, you would begin putting together the advertising for the fundraiser. You'd need some sort of campaign to get it out to the community. You might even pick a group to sponsor the fundraising event to help with promoting and campaigning. Since you are fundraising for the Jerusalem Poor Fund. And that's what Paul was doing here in 2 Corinthians 8. He was campaigning for the Jerusalem Poor Fund, for those poor families in Jerusalem that were suffering, that didn't have food, didn't have clothing, they didn't have shelter, they needed something. And here Paul, he's on the trail and he's come to the ecclesia in Corinth, and he's using this example of Macedonia to try to build this fundraiser. So you're fundraising for the Jerusalem Poor Fund, for the many hungry and destitute families living in Jerusalem. And so you have this idea. Since you're putting this fundraiser together, you might put pictures of the families in Jerusalem on signs, and you might put it around this fundraiser so that individuals who come to the fundraiser or groups that come would see these pictures and they might be motivated to give. Maybe this will help motivate. Maybe this will help others to give and make this fundraiser a huge success. In your mind, you know exactly what is required and needed to run the perfect fundraiser or the perfect campaign. You have it all figured out. But now let's imagine that Paul, he's the leader of the fundraiser, and you are appointed to the committee that is in charge of promoting this fundraiser. Remember, you have it all figured out. You have in your mind exactly how it should be run. You know how you can make it successful, but you have to listen to Paul. Paul's the leader of this fundraiser. And Paul doesn't let you pick exactly how the fundraiser will go. Paul has something else in mind. Paul tells you that you will be advertising the event with pictures of the ecclesia in the Macedonia area. And you say, okay, that's fine. I can go with that. I can deal with that. And Paul goes on to tell you that this area is currently going through a great deal of persecution. And oh, by the way, they're poor. And you'd say, your first thought would be, that's perfect. I can advertise. I can use these pictures of this ecclesia. Because, I mean, think about the fundraisers you see on TV. Think about those when you see pictures of children over in Africa. It's usually pictures of very poor children, destitute. So that's what tends to get people to give. So you'd be thinking, okay, this will work. I can use the example of the Macedonians. Paul knows exactly what he's doing, and he's going to make our job very easy, isn't he? Because you'll be able to use the pictures, you'll be able to advertise. You know exactly how you're going to use the Macedonia Ecclesia to advertise this fundraiser and to encourage many to donate. But then Paul, he kind of throws a kink in the picture. He kind of throws a kink in your plan. He says, oh, by the way, the Ecclesia at Macedonia, they're bursting with joy right now. They love to smile, and they love to give abundantly to the Jerusalem Poor Fund. And so you'd be thinking, okay, wait a minute. I was going to use the Macedonia Ecclesia to advertise this campaign. Now, to advertise this campaign, I need children who don't look very happy. I need to have their picture up to help people to donate, to encourage them to donate. But now you're going to get a picture of this kid smiling. You know, this huge smile. He's going to be happy. The families are happy. They're bursting with joy. And you're thinking, Paul, what are you trying to do to me? You're making my life so difficult. I can't use the Macedonia Ecclesia to pull off this fundraiser. Your immediate reaction is going to be confusion. You'd probably tell Paul that this is probably not the best idea. This sounds a little bit crazy. I don't know if this is going to make the fundraiser successful. You tell Paul, why can't we just stick to those in Jerusalem? Why can't we just advertise them? You know, that's probably something I would tell Paul. But Paul would reassure us by taking us through the example of the Macedonian ecclesia and why he chose them. He would say, just give me one moment, David. Let me tell you their story. Let me take you through the life of the Macedonian ecclesia, and you'll understand why I picked them. Paul could say, yes, the Macedonian ecclesia is going through a trial of persecution. Yes, they are poor. They don't have much to give financially compared to others. They won't have much to spare in clothes, food, or money. Their working days, yeah, they're probably long. They're probably difficult. Their pay is probably little. Yes, it's possible that many families in the area of Macedonia would only have one meal a day. It's possible that they didn't even have one meal a day. Their children might go to bed hungry. You know, this does seem like a difficult area. This does seem like an area that you would like to promote for a fundraiser. So the question is, why Macedonia? Why are they so happy? Why are they so joyous? Why did that throw a kink in our plan? Paul didn't make Macedonia an example because they are poor. Paul goes on in 2 Corinthians 8 to tell us that those in the area of Macedonia, though in poverty, they live their lives with an abundance of joy. Maybe this is why Paul uses the example of the Macedonia area. Maybe that's why he picked them. Maybe that's his whole purpose, is to portray the abundance of joy that you get from giving. Maybe that's why. I mean, God desires joy. God desires rejoicing. Philippians 4 and 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Also, we have a great example in Joel 2 verse 12 about joy. And if you were to read that example, it goes like this. The vine is dried up, the fig tree languisheth, the pomegranate tree, the palm tree also, the apple tree, even all the trees of the field are withered, because joy is withered away from the sons of men. And this was the area of Judah. So we find out that God desires joy in the life of the believers. And one reason that the area of Judah here in Joel 2 verse 12 was in trouble is because that the joy that they had for God had withered. It had withered away. So God desires joy from us as believers. He wants us to be joyful in our spiritual life. If you looked at Joel 2 verse 16, it also goes on to say, is not the meat cut off before our eyes, yea, joy and gladness from the house of God? So joy is something God desires and wants from us all. It's something He requires in our spiritual life. But I don't believe this was the main reason why Paul selected Macedonia to be an example to the Corinthian ecclesia. Maybe it was the fact that they were described as in verse 2. Maybe in 2 Corinthians 8 verse 2, and it says, their deep poverty abounded unto riches of their liberality. Or a better word would be simplicity. Maybe I should read it this way. Their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their simplicity. Maybe that's why Paul uses them as an example to the Corinthian ecclesia. Liberality means simplicity or sincerity or not self-seeking. All of these are things that God calls us to be. These are great examples for us. Romans 12 and 8 says, or he that exhorteth, I love this verse because I'm not what you call the greatest exhorter in the world, so I use this to kind of downplay that exhortation should be simple. Romans 12 verse 8, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. Let him do it out of simplicity. Kind of reminds me of the Wednesday night class that we had on clarity of words. Be clear in your words. Our 2 Corinthians 1 verse 12 says, we can say with confidence and clear conscience that we have lived with a God-given holiness and sincerity in all our dealings. So simplicity is also something God desires from us. But I still don't feel that this is why Paul uses Macedonia as an example to encourage and to exhort us this morning. I don't think that's why. Maybe it was because they gave much, even though that they had so little. Maybe that's why Paul uses them as an example. 2 Corinthians 8 and 4, they begged us again and again for the privilege of sharing in the gift for the believers in Jerusalem. And some of the quotes that I'm going to read from 2 Corinthians 8 are going to be from the New Living Translation, because I don't think the King James does justice to this chapter. So they begged us again and again for the privilege of sharing in the gift for the believers. And this whole chapter is supposed to encourage the Corinthians to give to the Jerusalem Poor Fund, to those poor believers in Jerusalem that needed help. But I even believe that their generous giving was the second reason why Paul chose them to be an example to the Corinthian ecclesia. And you might say right there, you might say, all right, David, you're crazy. This is all about giving. Why would you say that's the second most important thing of this chapter? I believe that the most powerful lesson from the Macedonia ecclesia is found in verse 5 of 2 Corinthians 8. Now this is from the New Living Translation. They even did more than we had hoped, for their first action was to give themselves to the Lord and to us, just as God wanted them to do. I believe this is the lesson Paul was trying to teach us in 2 Corinthians 8. This is why he picked the Macedonia ecclesia to be an example to the Corinthians. This area understood what God expected of them. They understood before they could become generous givers or joyful believers or even living unto simplicity before God, they must be willing to give of themselves first. It had to start there before they could go to the next level. Our first action each day has to be the same. And this is the powerful example we can take from the Macedonians. Our first action each day has to be the same. We have to give first ourselves to God each day. This attitude has to become a way of life. It has to be a lifestyle change. It's kind of like the slogan for the Weight Watchers campaign when you see it. They always campaign, it's a lifestyle change. That's what it's all about. And that's the lesson that we can take from this area. It's a lifestyle change. To give first of yourself, it's not a once and done thing. It's not where, okay, well, I was baptized, so I gave first to the Lord, so I'm done, I'm all good. No, the whole power behind this lesson that Paul's talking about is to give first of yourself, it has to be a daily routine. It has to be something that you do each and every day. It has to be a lifestyle change. And I think the real power can be found in Romans 6, verse 18. I think Romans 6 and verse 18 summarizes the point I'm trying to get across. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. That's the lifestyle change. When we realize that each day is to give of ourselves first to God, we become servants of righteousness. That's the power behind this lesson. We become servants to righteousness. And your first thought might be, well, why would I want to be a servant? Well, a servant, it's not like you're forced into doing this, that like a servant you might be thinking of. This is something you do willingly. This is something you do freely. This is something you want to do. And back in 2 Corinthians 8, I think one of the verses picks this up. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 3, for to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. That's being a servant of righteousness. It's the willingness that God looks for. That's the lifestyle change. The generous giving, the joy, and the willingness are all byproducts of those that give themselves daily to God and to Christ first. If you start there, you can then go to the next level. The generous giving, the joy, and the willingness, they're all byproducts of giving of yourself daily. So now as we take of the emblems and remember Christ's sacrifice, let's take one lesson from this exhortation. And I've pulled two verses from different books to try to express this one lesson as we come to the emblems. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 15 states this very clearly. And that he died for all, they that which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Galatians 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.